has your pulse been on these negotiations? I mean, just talking as a player rep.
Pretty even keel. I mean, there hasn't been any movement. They haven't shown us any light at the end of the tunnel yet. So, you know, there's nothing to get too worked up about. You know, the deadline hasn't come and even gone yet, so we're still pretty calm.
But with the deadline closer, I mean, with the deadline getting to the point where, barring a miracle, you're not going to get a deal, how does that change things?
That doesn't at all. I mean, we'll cross that bridge when we get there, but the 15th is a deadline, but, you know, the 21st is when camp's supposed to open, so that's a deadline. First preseason game, that's when revenue starts to come in as a deadline, and then obviously the start of the regular season, another deadline, so... I don't think our guys are too worked up about it. We understand what we're fighting for, and we're prepared not to give in.
Have you made any plans yet? Do you plan on staying here?
I'm here. I prepared for the summer like I'm going to play hockey, and that's what I'm going to do. So you know, my plans are to stay here. I'm still hopeful that we get the season going.
How much of an extra challenge is this, the uncertainty in terms of getting ready for a season and not knowing if camp starts Monday or,
I don't know. For myself personally, I prepare like the game's going to start. I think that's the only way to do it. Until I'm told otherwise, then we'll adjust. But I'm preparing like we're still going to get something done. When it does happen, I'm sure we'll have some time to think about it, what to do. So there's no sense in planning for that right now.
How much, I think it's been reported a couple of places that the league would start canceling preseason games as early as next week. Is that sort of, once that starts to happen, does it sink in a little bit more?
No, you know what, we've been preparing. It's not like this has just come upon us. We've been talking about a new CBA. We've had CBA prep meetings as far back as 2 years ago. So the players are prepared. Last time, you know, we thought we got the raw end of the deal, and you know, we have to fight this time. At some point, you have to dig your heels in and fight. If we don't this time, then next time, what happens next? Appeasement only makes the aggressor more aggressive, and the players really understand that. And we believe in our cause and in our leadership, and I believe we're more unified this time and ready for a fight.
With the change in representation, with the PA, is there a different tenant this time with the negotiation over the previous time?
Is there a different one?
Is there a different feeling, a different
I think definitely. I think having worked with Donald Fear, I believe he's the tip of the sword in labor negotiations, sports labor negotiations. He is a shark, and if there's a deal to get done, he will be able to make it. And if there's not a deal, he's not going to make a bad deal on our part. That man is sharp, wise, intelligent, crafty. He's everything, and he connects with his players, I think, in a better way than we've ever seen before. For myself, anyway, than I've ever seen. And I'm fully behind him. If you ask any player, they'll say the same thing. We believe in our leadership, in our negotiating committee, in our DPRs all the way through. Most unified our team has ever been.
Do you think players are willing to sacrifice the season if that's what it means to get
what
they
need? I mean, players have long memories. I mean, one, it's the financial part of it, that they want to roll back our contracts is a financial part, which is going to make anybody, you don't care what business you're in, that's going to kick a fire under a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And the second part of it, which maybe goes overlooked a little bit because of the financial aspect, is that every contract ends with a handshake. Every single contract. And where I come from, if you don't, you honor your handshakes and you have your word, and if you don't have that, you have nothing. If I make a bad deal, sign a bad contract, that's my fault. And I accept that, and I'm a man, and I work through that. That's something I deal with. I don't go, you know, cry and foul or... looking for somebody to fix my mistakes. I accept that as a man that I made a bad decision. And I think players, that's something that hockey players are pretty honest people, and they don't like it when it's coming back the other way.
It's like cutting somebody's lawn, saying it'll be $10, and then they shake hands and he gives you $8, right?
Well, yeah, I don't know. It's a lot more complicated than that. You know, I was raised when you give a man your word and you shake a hand, that's as good as gold, and That's something that I think really upsets the players, is that we don't feel like we're being treated that way.
Is that the toughest part about all these negotiations, that fundamentally they keep asking for rollbacks and for you guys to accept reductions on deals that are either a year old or a couple days old?
Well, it's, you take the same context applied to a car dealership. If a car dealership sells all their cars for $1,000, and then a year later says, geez, you know, we're not making any money or we're having problems here. Is that the consumer's fault that they, you know, then come asking for more money? I mean, if you make a bad business decision, that's your fault. My brother and I own a business. We make a decision, bad decision, that's our fault. We accept it and live with it. So players are passionate. They're going to fight and they're not going to give in. And like I said, we believe in our leadership. But at the end of the day, I mean, a lockout is what happens when adults get in the way of a kid's game, and it's truly a shame. If we miss one day, it's truly a shame.
What kind of business do you guys have?
My brother and I are in the rental business in the oil field.
Mm-hmm. Can I ask you a medical question? This is something my wife asked me, so this is something women might think about. But like insurance,
that's being handled.
Like Troy Brower, for instance, like his wife's having a baby in a couple of weeks. What happens with that? I mean, are you still covered, or do you have to get your own insurance?
Yeah, we're going to keep that internal, but that's being handled. The PA looks out for every player all the time. That's the code of the Players Association. Every player all the time. So any position that any player is in, wherever he's living around the globe, whatever position he's in, the PA is going to look out for him. So those are things that the insurance, that sort of stuff. Last time around, there were stipends. There's a lot more things other than just the CBA that you have to think about and consider.
If this turns into a lengthy lockout, would you consider playing overseas somewhere?
Yeah. I grew up loving the game of hockey, not loving the NHL. I mean, all players, we want to play hockey. And the beauty of the game today is it's a global game, and there's other opportunities. Actually, something I've thought about is, you know, the NHL comes out and declares a lockout, and what, July 15th or something, they say there's going to be a lockout if we don't have an agreement by September 15th. And then they come out and say the game's going to return because we have the greatest fans in the world. What happens if, the lockout comes on September 16th, top 100 players in the world sign over in Europe for a year-long contract? Then what? You know, is the game going to return? Or the fans are coming to see the players, not coming to see the owners. So, the top players are always going to play. There's always going to be a spot for them. This is the most competitive and toughest league to make in the world. These are where the best hockey players are. So if they're available, other teams are going to come calling.
Is that something that you think could happen, that it might not even take, guys might not wait for it to be a long lockout, that they'll go find somewhere else to play quickly?
We've discussed that. I will say this, that 100% of our effort is focused on getting a deal done. And we all want to play for the Stanley Cup. We want to play at our respective teams. And that's our goal. And until that is taken away from us, we aren't really going to look for option B. We believe in our stand. We believe in our fight. And that's on the forefront of our minds. And it isn't until the other side says that that's not going to happen that we'll look elsewhere. And it is the other side. Players, every comment you see from every player is we're looking for a fair deal to move this game. The state of the game is so great right now. We want to move this game forward. And it's the other side saying, if we pass the deadline without a deal, we're locking you out. And that is a choice. That is, and there's nowhere that says that we can't proceed with training camp or even into the season without a new CBA and continue to negotiate in good faith, which, as the Players Association, we've said we will do. And the other side just isn't cooperating with that. We don't understand why.
You see, when you walk in here and you walk in Verizon Center, people who work, you know, the elevators, who work concessions, can you empathize with the fact that, you know, these are people that count on this game? And
it has a massive, massive ripple effect to the tune that I don't think people really understand. That is parking, merchandising, I mean, everything. It affects a lot more people than just the players. Coaches, it affects families, it affects, if husbands have to go over to Europe to play hockey and their kids stay back for school, I mean, there's it affects kids, there's so many things that this will affect. And like I said, it's truly going to be a shame if we miss one day. That's what happens when adults get in the way of a kid's game.
So how do you balance that? How do you balance wanting to get a fair deal for you guys and knowing who it's going to affect outside of players, outside of even owners?
Well, it's actually pretty easy to balance because we 100% believe in our cause. I mean, if they came to you and said, we're going to slash your, you know, 5 years, 6 years ago, this 7 years, whatever, they said, we're going to slash your salary by 24%, then the deal that they got then, now they're coming to you and saying, the one that they bargained for and got and won, and now are coming and saying, doesn't work, we need to do it again, you know, anybody would dig their heels and say, not this time, I'm not accepting that. So we believe in our cause. I mean, we are, any conversation starting with a rollback of players' salary is the end of the conversation. When they start with that, that's the end of it for the PA. We're not going to accept that.
And that's every conversation has been that. Every conversation has starts with that.
That's why we are where we are.
Mm-hmm. Is it frustrating in this market particularly, you know, we've seen so much growth since the last lockout, to see, you know, potential more growth stopped with the potential lockout?
It's frustrating because I think the state of the game is better than it ever has been in. I mean, there's so many good hockey players and good teams and good rivalries. I mean, just look at the playoffs last year. You know, the energy and excitement that the game of hockey created all over North America and even into Europe, and whatever, it's amazing. And then the other thing is that the Olympics are right around the corner. And if we can keep hockey going and get hockey in the Olympics again, I mean, you're poised to take a major step with the sport. And I don't see any benefit in having a work stoppage right now. I mean, the fans lose. I mean, ultimately, they're the ones that lose. I mean, they are the reason we're able to do what we do. And I really feel bad if we miss one game and cost one kid a chance to see an NHL hockey game or to meet one of the players or get an autograph or a picture. I mean, it is truly going to be a shame if that happens.